Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail.
And that's kind of my shtick, right? Like, I love horror movies. Like, Comic-Con's okay, but like, horror movies are my thing, and these are my people, and this is gonna be really cool. And I like got to watch Matthew Lillard all weekend, and that's outstanding.
I love Matthew Lillard.
He's so nice. He is
Stu
so
Mocker
nice.
Was like, ugh, Scream was literally my favorite movie. I saw it like 8 times in the movie theater. It's not even funny how obsessed I was with that movie.
SLC Punk has always been one of my favorites.
Oh, I watched that because I loved him so much. I was like, what other movies is this guy in? And then I watched all his other movies.
So I assume you're watching Good Girls because he's amazing in Good Girl. I just want to hug him.
I'm a season behind because I just haven't been watching TV that much. So I am a season behind, but I did watch, and that was I was like, oh my God, that's Stu. Like, it was the first thing I said when I watched it.
Yes. So we did that. And like, I arranged, I got the booth. I did everything. She gave me her half, and every other event that I had worked, we would all kind of take turns and tag team for each other. So like if, girl one hadn't made any money yet, we would funnel the next customer over to her, even if we'd already done all the hard work, right? We tried to like make it fair. Working this booth with my upline, not only did she take all of the sales, but then she had the audacity to complain to me about how it wasn't profitable enough for her that weekend. And it was, what a waste of time.
Oh, Lord.
And like, well, then you could have not come and I could have made those sales myself. But she wasn't even trying to help me. She wasn't trying to coach me. She wasn't trying to do none of that. And I'm like, okay, this
bitch. Yeah, because it's not actually a business.
Well, and it's like, I get most people are inherently self-interested and that kind of thing, but like, no, bro, no, like I'm good. She left such a bad taste in my mouth. And come to find out that even during that weekend, she had already joined and was thinking about hopping ship to a different MLM. But said nothing to me, right? And this girl's supposed to be my friend, mind you, right? Like, she's supposed to be my friend. We can, like, even if it's a loose friendship, she's supposed to be my friend. And that didn't happen. So after that event, I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. My husband kind of crunched the numbers. And he's like, for this to even be profitable for you, you need to be doing this amount of money in sales. And he's like, you and I both know you don't have the time for that. And I'm like, that's legit. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to hang on till the end of like, because I think it joined in like April. I'm going to hang on just for the personal discount on the products that I like and I still use. And then I'm going to be done. And I won't sign up unless they give me another year free.
I'm not going to stay in this cult unless they give me something good.
Right. Like, whatever. Like, at that point, I'm like, if I'm going to be
like, that's the mindset you were in when you were in this. Yes. I mean, looking back on it now, you're like, that's ridiculous. But being in it, you're like, that makes complete sense.
But I was also like, if I'm going to do this, then I don't want to make that much money off of me. So I'm just going to do what I do, right? Because I'm not going to get that discount anywhere else, whatever. So then it was January 2020, and I had invited my upline to my daughter's birthday party, like, because she has kids the same age, and I had hired a Disney princess. So I was inviting all of my friends that had daughters that age, or even some sons that age that would be cool with having a Disney princess at a birthday party. Because they didn't want to invite all the kids at her school, because the school has the policy, if you have a birthday, you have to invite all of them. And I'm not,
right.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. Not to a public park. Like, I'm not doing that. So she's there and everything just feels weird. I was surprised she showed up, and then just everything feels weird. It's just weird. And I can't describe it anything other than like, it was just all really weird. And then February, 2020, was it February or March? It was February or March of 2020, but it was before we locked down here. I get an email from her upline saying that she has what they call it managance when you get to a certain level and you sign a contract saying you're gonna build a team and do training and all this stuff, right? So she sends me this email saying that this chick had unsigned managements, and I have no idea what the fuck that even means, right? Because I haven't like some people signed up under me for the discount on the products, and like some people, like people I didn't recruit, and the people that did sign up out under me, thank God they never did anything, like, because I probably, like, today I would feel like I really have to do some amend making work on that.
I'm surprised they didn't call it synergement and they went with managements.
I can't even, it's just all so funny and stupid and but they sent that, and then so the woman that was, then she was reaching out because she was going to be my new upline.
Okay, so your upline kicked rocks and you were rolled up, and this new upline was like, I'm your new upline.
Yes, she was just like, I know that, and I'd heard her name because she had been attached before, and there was some animosity there between some people, and like, I think it's because some of the stuff that I had seen, I feel like she'd gotten a bad rap. She's also friends with somebody else that I know that I respect a lot. So if she's friends with my other friend, then she can't be that terrible of a human being, right? And I still don't think she's a terrible human being at
all. So the girl that you knew in recovery that recruited you kicked rocks and didn't say anything to you at all.
Correct. So I send her a message and I'm like, what is this? And she's like, oh God, that's bad. And she's like, well, I thought you were quitting too. And I'm like, it still would have been, you're my
then friend. Talk to me about it, girlfriend.
Like what? So she quit to go to a new MLM so she could get at the tippy top of the pyramid.
Is it Beauty Counter?
Zaya.
Oh, the workout one? Yeah. Wait, Zaya, the workout pro?
It's like the new LuLaRoe. Yeah.
It's like LuLaRoe, like athleisure.
Yes.
But it's not even a makeup one.
Phrase. No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not. So she's like, I'm going to go to Zaya. And now she has no use for anybody who's not going to follow her, but she cannot actually recruit you. Because Zaya has a thing in their contract that's like really big about not doing that, right?
Well, yeah, because they don't want to look like a pyramid scheme, so, even though they are one.
Yeah. So like, then she's like, well, you should check out products, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look, I'm going to be real. I don't spend $70 on leggings. I don't even spend $70 on shoes.
You're like, girl, I don't even wear lipstick.
Right.
And I got into this. I'm not like, joining the legging one.
No.
I don't work out. So no.
No. I am a thrift shopper from heck. Like I find the best stuff when I go to, like, that's what I do. Like, I don't spend money like that. It's just not a thing for me. And I'm not a shopper. I don't like malls. I don't care about brand names. I just want to be comfortable. That's all.
I want to be comfy and I want a good deal. I was like Home Goods, Marshalls, these like brand overstock places all day. Clearance rack. Let's go.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. So now I'm under this new upline who's like, she's reaching out and I'm just like, I'm not rude. I'm going to be like, hey, this is kind of where I'm at. And then the lockdown happens and I'm home 24/7. I'm only working 2 days a week. I'm starting a private practice. Like I don't have time to focus on anything really. And then, but she was really nice and she's never pushed me to be anything else. And then I thought, you know, maybe underneath her, I can make enough income to buy my own stuff. And you know, not be pushed to do all this other crap. Like, I really felt like at that point it was mean girl stuff. Like, if you don't do what I want you to, then you're not my friend kind of thing.
So did you feel like with a new upline that may have better success in this business with a different mentor above you?
I felt like maybe with this upline, I could at least break even on the stuff that I was buying for myself. That's it. I really didn't. And they had a way of like, they had a special website with like drip campaigns to post to your Facebook for you. So like, I didn't even have to do half the work. That's outstanding. I'm lazy and I don't want to. My life's goal is to work less, not more. So I started doing some stuff and I got involved with some of the team there and this, that, and the other. And I'm still like not fully in kind of thing, but I will tell you that she has never been anything but gracious to me. So part of what pulled me back in, I lied. Part of what pulled me back in was that my husband was diagnosed with cancer and we had to come up with a 10 grand down payment on his surgery up front with less than 24 hour notice.
Wow.
The American system of healthcare is another rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day.
So my stress response is moving because my husband has cancer, right?
Oh my God. I have to come up imagine.
With 10 grand liquid. I don't know anybody who has 10 grand. I can't even ask my dad because my dad has dementia and I'd have to like go through these hoops. And even if I got the money from him, I wouldn't have had it in enough time for the surgery to happen. So it all goes on credit because that's the American way of life. And all that's kind of worked itself out after the insurance company renegotiated with the hospital and that kind of thing. But the doctor even said after they removed the tumor, if they wouldn't have removed the tumor when they did, if they would have even waited a week, it would have grown so much, it would have cut off its own blood supply. That's how rapidly growing his tumor was.
Oh my, wow.
So like, I was like, okay, well now I need money to pay off this hospital bill. And maybe under this new upline, I can make some enough money off of sales that I can make this work. And I didn't, and it is what it is, but I did not put anything on credit. I only did pre-orders. I only said, if you want stuff, you've got to tell me what you want. You have to pay me ahead of time. Otherwise, you're not getting it. And it's 2020, right? Now, nobody's wearing lipstick because masks.
Nobody's going anywhere. And we're all wearing masks.
But, you know, you want to be Zoom ready while you're doing your meetings and your online stuff and all that fun stuff. And the eyes have it, right? So we're big on eye products and skincare because mask me. And now what a great time to refocus on your skin and all this business. And it's like, all right, whatever. By the end of the summer, I was just done, like, even trying. And I did a going out of business clearance, all the rest of the stock. I'm still finding random stock in places that I'm selling like on garage sale apps now for like nothing, but enough to make something off of it. And like I did all of that. And my new upline has never once disparaged. I pulled myself out of all the groups. She's never once been like, hey, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? Like she knew from the beginning, because we'd had conversation, that this was not going to be something that I really wanted to do as far as like building a team and doing all this stupid crap, right? And she has fully respected that of me from day one. And I literally think that even outside of the structure, if she would understand that I think a lot of her own personal mental health stuff and misery is because she is so high up in this terrible pyramid scheme.
It is very insidious, and it is a lot of mental anguish to be. The higher up you are, the more of that you experience.
And it's also my understanding that, so the crown princess is the bottom of the tippy top of the pyramid. So like their pyramid is divided into two, and crown princess is the bottom of the tippy top. And the women that are in the tippy top are mean girls. They're just mean girls. And she is not in the in crowd with those mean girls, which is my understanding. And I don't know if that's accurate or not. It's very much, you know, stranger in a strange land type stuff that I hear from her. And like, you hear all about the Senna sisterhood and how everybody's so great and da 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 da. And like, I didn't experience really any of that. Because when my aunt died and I was trying to find a way to find, you know, flight money to fly back for the funeral, nothing. But a girl that I know had her coach purse stolen and somebody went and bought her a brand new coach purse.
Well,
I'm like, that's cool.
Her sisterhood is incredible, you guys. It's like, worth all of the PTSD you get.
Like that girl, I she has a lot of other stuff going on in her life. And again, I think she's just a cog in the wheel type thing. But like, she made a bad decision. You don't take your coach purse and leave it in your car when you're in a hiking trail in Central Phoenix. Like, that's just stupid. That's a bad move. Don't care who you are. That's a
you
bad
shouldn't leave move. Your purse unattended anywhere besides like your house.
Right. Like, it's just one of those things. But yeah, so I pulled out, and then the girl that initially recruited me, because I didn't want to join her at Zaya, I wasn't going to buy anything from her. She stopped following me on Insta. She barely interacted with me on Facebook.
That's excommunication, though. I mean, that's her being like, I don't want anything to do with you anymore.
So, and then I started noticing, and I didn't really notice it so much when she was doing the makeup stuff, but part of her relatable campaign, first of all, it's the affinity fraud with the addiction. She's always pulling out her status as a person in recovery as a selling point. And then, so she lost a child early in its life. and this is going to be identifying information for anybody that knows her. But she lost a child early in its life, and that's a tragedy. But I'm seeing her use that tragedy as a way to sell more shit. And that makes me feel so gross.
Well, it's incredible, incredibly predatory. It just goes hand in hand with MLM. We talk about the affinity fraud. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have gone through horrible things. I mean, child loss is just, I can't even imagine.
Right.
And to use that as something that's like, oh, look, we have something in common, mm-hmm. is horrible. Mm-hmm. And not okay.
Make her more sympathetic and more likable. Yeah, maybe I should buy from her.
I feel so bad for her. No, it's not okay.
And then the other thing that's been happening that I think is hilarious, because I've seen the man behind the curtain in her life, because I know her. She talks big about how she was able to retire her husband. So here's the real story. He went back to school and got a new certification in something and couldn't find a job. Plus, he really hasn't worked a regular job in forever because he was a freelance photographer.
And she took the credit.
Mm-hmm. But now she's posted. So I stalk her Facebook once in a while because we're no longer connected. And she just posted, oh, now he's looking for a job. I'm like, I just want to comment, but I thought you retired.
I thought he was retired.
And then she's like, I retired from my full-time gig as a cosmetologist. I'm like, honey, you were only working 2 days a week. I already know this. So how are you retiring after you weren't working full time? Like, cool. I'm glad you're not doing that anymore if it doesn't bring you joy. But like, and then she's always talking about, I get all these free clothes. I'm like, last time I checked, my electric company did not take leggings as a form of payment.
No, they don't. Definitely. Trust me on that. They do not.
And then I'm like looking at all the stuff you got for half off or free. That's all the people that you scammed so that you could have more crap that you really don't need. Score. So yeah, so I'm having this moment. And so I started telling my story a little bit to some people, and I've had people reach out to me and tell me about how gross she was with them and how predatory and just the way that she would hop from women's meeting to women's meeting in this 12-step recovery community.
She was going to different AA meetings to meet new potential predatory recruit like targets. Wow.
On purpose.
And that's not something like I'm not in the recovery community, so I don't really know how it works other than like watching TV shows like Mom and stuff like that. But
Mom's pretty accurate.
So it's like, in Mom, they have their group. They don't go to a bunch of other meetings unless they're either out of town. There was one where they tried to pick up some rich dudes at the rich meeting in town. Yeah. But like, for the most part, it's you stick with your team and your meeting and your group. You're not bouncing around. That seems predatory. Yeah,
especially here in Phoenix, where there's lots of different sides of town. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I will go to different meetings to kind of mix up my schedule and to see some new faces and to get some different, like some new life, some new blood into my recovery and check out a different style of meeting when I feel like I don't necessarily have something that fits really well. Cause I go to like 3 or 4 a week. But then, so I've joined a bunch of recovery groups online so that I can get some more, so I can attend meetings in like the East Coast and I can attend meetings overseas. And like, I get to go to all these really cool things because that's what 2020 did for the recovery community is we shifted and adapted and moved all of our stuff online. But I'm in one of these groups and this woman was telling the story about how she's like brand new in recovery and it's not here. Thank God. Cause if it was here, I would totally go to this meeting and totally rat this chick out. So this newcomer had come in and was telling or told like that this woman who had kind of started mentoring her, but wasn't sponsoring her, but like was just kind of helping guide her, told her at like 3 months in, oh, I can't be your sponsor unless you join Amway with me.
What?
That is not how we do things.
But it's very it's very much how they do things in Amway.
Oh my God. I just like, oh honey. And like I said, I'm glad it's not here because I would have gone to their like business meeting of that group and just been like, this chick is violating everything that we stand for. And you all need to hold her accountable because the newcomers can't speak for themselves because they don't know how. And like, as a person with time, that's my job. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So this isn't even just like my experience. And that was when I was like, when I read that post is when I'm like, I have to start telling my story because there's a couple of things that I have going for me that people, aren't talking about. So like 12-step community, anonymity is huge, right? I violate my own anonymity all the time because I just do. It's not a secret anymore. And I'm okay with it, right? I don't necessarily talk about what fellowship. Right.
But that's your choice yeah. that you made yeah. for your life.
And I am not a spokesperson for my fellowship. I'm a spokesperson for me. That's it. So the first thing is the fact that this is happening inside the recovery community. And a lot of people don't want to talk because of anonymity. The other thing is that I have a master's degree. And as you and I have seen, a lot of people want to believe that if they have an upper level degree, that means that they are exempt from possibly being in a scam, right? Like the conversation.
Literally what we did, was it yesterday or was it the day before?
Oh my God. You don't even know how much my blood pressure was up during that conversation, because that is somebody that I actually know and I care about. And the way that he started attacking me, I was like, do you really think I'm telling you this to hurt you? Like, that hurts me that you think I would tell you this to hurt you.
I love that he came on my Instagram page and said, who's Roberta Blevins anyway? And what credibility does she have? I was like, hi, that's me. Why don't you fucking Google my name before you ask stupid questions on my page? That's what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say, but I didn't, because I am an advocate. And I said, Roberta Blevins is me. Go ahead and fact check me if you'd like.
Right. Well, and like I said, I think that, you know, there's this idea like I can't possibly have fallen for this, or they can't possibly have fallen for this. But the reality is especially with, like, we saw it with Amway, they purposefully recruit people who have status and power and titles and degrees because
to legitimize it.
Yes. They want to create false legitimacy. And the reality is that I'm not a dumb person. I'm an impulsive person who has a couple of mental health diagnoses that I work on regularly and have in remission for the most part. They flare every once in a while, but I'm also a human. And I also want to believe the best in people because of what I do for a living. I've worked in the prison system before, and I've worked with convicted murderers. I've worked with people that you can't even believe, right? And I'm here to tell you, like, 95% of the human beings on this planet are good, and they make mistakes.
Inherently good with human flaws.
And everybody does the best they can with what they have. And some people aren't given as much to work with, right? I always want to see the good in people. And my husband says that means I'm bad at reading people. And it's funny because his business is like where he works. A lot of the people that work there were directly approved and stamped and brought over by me. And those are the ones that have stayed, and the ones that I didn't like recommend have all left or been fired. But I literally read people all day long. It's all I do. Like, that's what I do. And so people tell me I don't read people well. So for me, it was this idea, like, I thought this person was my friend. And I thought that she would never do anything to harm me. And the reality is that she has never given a shit about me. And I know that.
And that's a hard reality to face. I felt it too. I was like, wow, this person that I confided like dark, deep secrets and feelings and vulnerabilities to only used those as a way to manipulate me in this scam and didn't actually care about me at all.
And the thing is, and this is the other piece, and I tell my clients this all the time, but I was going through some stuff that made me second guess my gut instinct, because my gut instinct when my PTSD flares is not reliable. It's just not reliable. And I know that about me. So my gut instinct was flaring and I ignored it. And I just kept ignoring it. And I do know, however, that my gut instinct and my critical thinking skills are what kept me from getting way too sunk to the point where like there was no going back, and kept me from being in a place where like complete financial ruin happened to my family.
Yeah. Same with me. Like, I was like, I'm getting dangerously close to that line I don't want to cross.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when something feels gross to me, like I really don't do it anyway. So like there would be times when she'd be like, did you do blah, blah, blah? And I would tell her yes, but it was a lie because it felt gross. Like, I don't want to do that. It feels gross. Like, that's not
gonna right. You're like, if I say no, she's going to hound me until I do it. So I might as well just tell her I did it. And she won't talk to me about it anymore.
Right. I'm the queen of just not answering questions. Like, I don't want to answer this because I don't want to lie, because I'm a terrible liar. I can be a little bit more stretchy with the truth via like text or like connection that doesn't require you to like look at my face, because every thought I have crosses my face. I'm terrible at lying. So I would just rather not, because I'm also in recovery, and the first tenet of recovery is honesty. And so like, I want to believe this girl had time. So therefore, and I know people with time aren't always healthy. They aren't. I've seen predatory people that do other things in recovery. And I'm using air quotes because not everybody who says they're in recovery is actually like actively recovering. Some people are still very much in their disease. They just stopped drinking and using. But it was like, okay. And then when I'd say, I want to build this piece of my life, most of the people in my world are my cheerleaders and are like, yes, that's amazing. I'm so glad you're doing that. It's so good. But she would be like, well, I get it. I'm like, okay. And then like, out of all the things, when I come out and tell like a handful of people that my husband has cancer, her reaction was, oh gosh, that sucks. Thanks for playing. I'm out. And then I found out that she had stopped following, like when she, I found out she didn't even like, when she switched her IG from her Senogen to her Zaya, she didn't even start following me on my Instagram. So I'm like, so why are we even here?
Why are we even because here? You're just a dollar sign. You're just a walking dollar sign. You're just a person mm-hmm. to make her more money. I mean, that like that realization for people like you and I that just like to talk and like to meet people and are super extroverted, and we'll ask the person behind us what kind of apples they're buying at the grocery store. Right. When people block you or say things about you that aren't true, that's the thing that hurts the most. I was like, I don't care if you talk shit about me, just be talking the right shit. Cause that, what you're saying isn't even true.
Right.
That's what hurt me the most.
Right.
You know, confiding in people that you think are your friends, that you think have your best interest, and you realize this was nothing more than a business transaction for you.
And so for me, and the part that started to really get my fur up and why I really wanted, like, honestly, the passion that came out of me and why I really wanted to start advocating and educating is the fact that, like, as a person who has time in recovery, it is my job to protect new people. And I really, like, there's something inside of me that just snapped open when I found out how predatory she was being inside of a fellowship. And like the messages that are coming to me and people that are telling me this stuff. And I'm like, girl, don't worry about it. I was there. Like, I actually got suckered. I'm glad you didn't. Like the grossness of that. And just it. Oh, the other thing, I went to a dinner once. I actually made it to like one of her little training meetings. And there was a girl there with me. This was early on. There was a girl with me and I actually live really close to her mom. And she was telling me about how she and her husband were in active bankruptcy. And the solution was buy more product to sell more product to get your family out of debt.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, she's in God.
Active bankruptcy. And the solution is to do it this way.
Do you know, and this goes right in hand with bankruptcy and all of this, there are so many MLMs that not only encourage you to go into debt to start. LuLaRoe was like, sell your breast milk, get a credit card. There are so many, there are even in this podcast that I've learned talking to the victims and survivors, that there are even in-house credit agencies within the MLM that will get you pre-approved to buy. I was like, what is happening right now? This is incredible.
And some of them are now using that like Klarna, which is the payment
system. You pay enough for like 5 or 6 payments or whatever. They're using that now.
Yes.
I have that's heard
how,
of that. Wow.
That's how Zaya is doing it. So I did a deep dive on Zaya. Yeah. And I will admit, like, I bought some Zaya stuff before I really knew like what I was doing probably wasn't the best thing on the planet and that, you know, whatever. And again, I like some of their products, but as we talked about, it's not about the products. It's about the business model. It's about the way they do things. I did not buy them from the girl that switched to Zaya because she decided that I wasn't going to make her enough money. So I actually sought out a complete stranger and bought some pieces of Zaya from, and I kept the ones that I like and I sold the ones I don't like on Mercari.
So like, weird that like that mean girl, like she lost a sale for being a mean girl. Like she could have made money. Like what's the point?
And I had a friend that sells Pure Romance, and like I was doing a party for her because this is when I was still in Senogen. So I was doing a party for her, and like she completely tanked the party, but she took all the people that I invited and added them to all of her stuff and then ordered her Senogens from another Senogens girl.
Like literally just to stick it to you.
No, because no? Okay. She wanted to bring, because she knew that I would probably still order from her because I'm her friend. And I would never find out that she had ordered from this other girl. Well, this other girl and I are friends. And I'm like, how did you get her to buy from you? She literally placed an order with me and never paid for it. So I never sent it. She's like, oh, she just sent me this message about foundation and blah, blah, blah. And I said, and why didn't you ask her why she didn't buy from me? I didn't think about it. Of course she didn't.
Oh,
it's cool, whatever.
It's that MLM complex. Like, it's just part of it. It's just all part of it. Like, manipulation, deception, like lying, all of it is just part of it. Like, you cannot be in MLM and not experience these things or enact these things.
Right. And it's just like, okay, like I'm just at that place where I just, because I am who I am, and I spent a lot of time in my childhood being bullied and not being good enough and all these things, which is what led me to having an addiction issue. And now I'm super counterculture. And like, I'm at this place now, turning 40 was like the best thing that ever happened to me because I'm fully embracing, I'm middle-aged and I just don't give a fuck.
Hey, I'm 42. I just turned 40. Hey. 40. February was my birthday.
Mine was in August, so like middle of pandemic. So
I was like, yay, my 40th birthday, and I'm stuck at home.
Right? Like, I don't dye my hair. My hair is naturally gray all the way through. I did put a blue streak in it because that's fun. I've embraced the anti-diet culture movement as well because I'm tired of these companies, and MLMs are notorious for this, coming in and making millions off of me hating myself.
I'm like, I hate myself. They're like, let me get you a pill to make you feel better. Right. Yeah. Like I succumbed to all of that in the past as well. And again, me leaving MLM and leaving the MLM complex and doing these deep dives and learning these things. I'm like, oh my God, diet culture, all of this is just literally to keep us in line. And I'm like, I don't even like being in line. So again, with the counterculture, I was like, I'm just going to eat what I want, do what I want, hang out with who I want, go where I want, do what I want.
And the most mind-blowing fact that I've learned in the last couple months is that the BMI is an antiquated tool that should not be used anymore.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, dude, that makes so much, like, I have squishy parts. I'm okay with my squishy parts.
I love my wobbly bits.
My body stretched to create a human being that I was told I could not create. I'm okay with it.
That's incredible.
And yes. My husband thinks I'm sexy, so who cares?
Right. I'm like, if your partner, like, whatever, like, who cares? Like, that's a whole nother thing. Like, make sure you're with a partner who, like, sees you and goes, damn, and not like, you could be better.
So, and that's the thing. So, like, with the conversation that you and I were doing, like, with the IG guy, I will say that, you know what? His support of his wife is outstanding, right?
I did appreciate that. I thought it was strange that he said, my wife's a doctor. And I was like, what does that have anything to do with me or anyone else in this thread? Is your wife in this thread?
I think she's a doctor of nutrition. But again, like, doctorate, amazing. Women should get advanced degrees. Not enough women have advanced degrees. Only 11% of the American population.
I was like, hey, good job for your wife. Degree, right? But as soon as he mentioned, my wife is a doctor, I went immediate to his page. He tagged, like, this is my wife. He took that off, by the way, because it was in his bio and now it's not. Mm-hmm. I clicked it and I go right to his wife's page and I scrolled down. I don't know, you know, Instagram has like the three cross grid. So I probably scrolled down 12, 15, 18 pictures, boom, Beachbody. I was like, your wife sells Beachbody. So then I went right back and I was like, so you're in the cult telling me it's not a cult. Mm-hmm. Telling me I'm not an expert at this. Mind you, you have no idea who I am at all. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that I'm not an expert in what I'm an expert at. Right. And then you're telling me that I'm not an expert because your wife's a doctor. And I was like, none of this makes any sense at all.
I was like, tell
your Beachbody hun wife, I hope she doesn't lose all her money. Good day, sir.
If he would be at the place where he would be receptive to sending me his address, I would totally send him a copy of Ponzinomics. Right. I totally would send it to him because I have my copy coming. I've read part of it like through Kindle stuff, but I need a hard copy.
It's incredible. I have mine right here. I call it my Bible. It's highlighted like a rainbow. I absolutely love it. Robert and I, he actually was on the show. It's coming up. By the time this is on, he'll have already been on. So go listen to that if you haven't. But he and I are going to break down, or he and I did break down, the anatomy of a pyramid scheme and what the difference between the two are. I even told him that this book should be required reading in every high school and every college level economics and business course. 100% this book should be required reading for anybody that wants to go into business. Any kind of business whatsoever. 100%. This book is incredible. You're going to love it.
And I agree with it in high school, because a lot of girls in Cenogens were jumping ship to go, or combining it with Tori Bell and only focusing on the lashes with Tori Bell. And because Tori Bell has a teen program, like, yes,
I think Mary Kay has a teen program too.
Oh my God. I just can't with that. I really just can't.
There are several. There might be an Avon teen. There are several teen programs. Which to me, I know that these are different things, but it's the equivalent of advertising cigarettes to children.
Yes.
It's the same. Yes. Different pony show, but it's the same, level of gross.
Or people, the credit card companies that give an 18-year-old a credit card the minute they turn 18. Like, it's just,
I mean, that's kind of like a student loan, right? I mean, welcome to adulthood and debt.
I appreciate my $200 limit when I was 18, because it bought me taxi rides to and from work.
But it's like, it just pays my gas and then I pay it off every month.
Looking back, I'm like, maybe that just was not the best idea. Thanks.
I'm not sure if I needed an established line of credit at 18. I mean, I didn't even move out and become quote unquote an adult in my own life until I was in like 21, maybe. So for me, like, 18 is so young to have any sort of permanent responsibility. I'm like, can we move that adult age up to 25? Because geez, man, I meet a lot of young kids and I'm like, you are not prepared at all.
And it's funny that you say 25, because the brain remains plastic until 25. And then at 25 is when decision-making in the prefrontal cortex is fully formed, which is why in car insurance rates go down at 25.
Wow. And also why maybe you're allowed to rent a car at 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you can't be insured like at a decent level. Right. It's pretty insane. It's like, I know I'm a big brain nerd, and I really appreciated your episode with Haley. Cause I'm like, speak in my language. I'm like, I love her.
Haley is incredible. Seriously. I was like, oh, I absolutely love her. She's just, and she's a cosplay nerd. So it's like, I'm like, oh my God, even more things to love you for.
I threw out at her like, hey, just so you know, I'm a therapist in Arizona, licensed, the whole nine. And I have the MLM experience. I have experience with a lot of this kind of like maladaptive belief structure and the trauma and all that business. I'm like, if you have people that are in my state that are looking for something, you can always send them my way. Like, I got this.
Yeah, she's incredible. I love her.
Yeah, no. So it's like, all right. So now I sent my email to Cenogen saying I was out, I was done, just cancel my distributorship. We're good. It was very, very freeing. I wish I would have taken some screenshots of some of the things in the back office, but I couldn't look at that stuff anymore. Like, I just couldn't look at it anymore. And I was at that place where it's like, I don't have a lot of dirt in what happened at any of the events, because I couldn't afford to go to the events, because you had to pay for your ticket to go, and then you had to pay for your plane ride, and you had to pay for your hotel, and then all of these things, and like, and plus take time off work, and I might not get paid for my time off work, because depending on where I was working, I didn't have PTO, and I'm like, I'm not leaving my kid. Like, that's not
so
happening.
Many sunk costs plus opportunity costs as well. Yeah.
Yes.
So many of them.
Yeah. And like, they would have these meetings with, like, Joni would set up with some members of our team, and there's these trainings, and then everybody hop in the car and drive to California. But they would tell us on like a Wednesday, and it would be on like Friday. I'm like, I don't have the freedom to do that.
But you could, like, if you worked your business hard enough and went all in with Cenogens, girl.
I would,
that's
like
the goal.
You know, but here's the thing is, I'd be like, well, can I bring my kid? No, can't go. like, sorry, she's kind of
like, just get a babysitter for the weekend. And you're like, I don't have anyone that I trust to watch my child for 3 days straight. Are you crazy?
It wasn't even a weekend. It was 5 to 6 hours in the car to drive to California to be there at like 8 o'clock in the morning, which means we had to leave here at like 2 o'clock in the morning for like a 3 to 4 hour training at her ranch, her big multi-million dollar house, to then have to turn around and drive home another 5 to 6 hours. No, bro.
Oh man, no. You are definitely not the first person that's been on this podcast that took a very long road trip to go to one of these sort of ridiculous things.
Oh, so I didn't go.
I'm glad. Okay, good. But they did.
Like my idea, first of all, I get car sick on long car rides. So I know there's no way I was going to get the front seat. And second of all, like, no, that is a waste of my day. I have so much other stuff I could do. Like, I don't know, sleep. Because I never sleep. That's not a thing that happens in my life. Like at that time, now I get a lot of sleep because I make my own hours.
And right. Now you do work for yourself.
Right? I 1099 under somebody who handles all the administrative crap that I don't want to do.
Right. And so that's another bullshit thing about MLM, right? Like, no, you don't want to be in that corporate structure. And I was like, girl, not all jobs are corporate jobs. Not all jobs are part of the corporate structure. I'm a hairstylist. I pay my booth rent. I have the key. I come and go as I please, whenever I'd like. My client can be like, oh my God, I have a hair emergency at 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday. And I can be like, meet me at the salon and I can handle it. Or I can say like yesterday, hey guys, I'm not working at all on Thursday. We're going to have a pool party. It's spring break. Sorry. And then I don't get to, I'm not a slave to the 9 to 5. I run my own business 1099, just like you.
Well, then on top of it, so like when I had my daughter, I was working for the state. I was working as a state employee in one of our prisons, providing therapy to prisoners and inmates that, you know, because they have to get out sometimes, so they should probably have some skills. And that's a whole other passion project for me. So like my daughter she was a preemie. So she spent 2 weeks in the NICU. My state.
I had a NICU baby too, but only a week. She was only in there for a week.
She did too. They were talking that she might have to stay till her due date, but because she was a feed and grow and then she needed to get her breathe, suck, swallow response down, then she could go home.
I tested positive for strep B and my delivery was so fast, the antibiotics didn't get to her in time. And she was just like massively infected and it was horrible. So she was in the NICU for a week because of that. That was, so I couldn't even, it was hard enough for like the 6 days or whatever. I couldn't imagine twice that. Or longer with some of these people that have preemies that are in for months and months and months. Oh my God, it breaks my heart.
Yes. There were lots of kids that their parents would come at night because they clearly had to have gone back to work and that kind of thing. And like, I was very lucky the way that it worked out. I had enough paid time off donated me that I was able to be off for 3 months because that's awesome. The people at Arizona Department of Corrections are. I'm just going to throw that out there. They're amazing people when I work there.
I had amazing clients and they tipped me like 100% plus because they're like, I know you're going to be out for 3 months. So here's what you would have made next time I came in too. And I was just like, I cannot believe that these people are doing this for me. And I was able, because I work for myself, to stay out longer.
And so when I got the bill, it was $56,000.
Oh my God.
Do you know how much money I paid out of pocket? Because I had state insurance.
I'm going to guess pretty low, hopefully.
I paid nothing.
Nice. That's the best number, is zero.
Because the way that our insurance writer had it was a result of my labor and delivery and maternity was covered at 100%.
That's incredible.
I have never heard of an MLM offering health insurance at all.
No, you would have been screwed. You would have been absolutely screwed.
I would be screwed now because I'm on the exchange insurance and it's just terrible, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, we had really good insurance. And I want to say we paid maybe a couple $100 out of pocket. And I was able to get her out of the NICU early. And we had a home healthcare nurse come because it was covered on our insurance. So I was like, oh my God, they came and weighed her and gave her antibiotics in our living room. Right. And that's awesome. This was all before MLM. If I had been in MLM, I mean, I don't know what would have happened.
We had a nurse that would come in. There's a special program here in Maricopa County where kids that are in the preemie are followed by a nurse to make sure they're hitting their developmental milestones. And if they're not, they're aligned with different services. And that nurse acts as like a case manager. And every time she comes, she brings us free stuff for my kiddo. And it was nice because I was so concerned about her being behind. And every time this woman would show up, she's like, you know what? She's small right now. So like, she's hitting everything she's supposed to hit. My kid now is the tallest one in her class. And people are amazed when I tell them that she was early.
And how old is she now?
She is 5.
Oh,
she's going to kindergarten.
That's like my favorite. Yes. Is she in TK right now? Or is she just in preschool?
They call it pre-K here. So yeah. Okay, so she's pre-K, in pre-K. Yeah. She passed her test to go to kindergarten. Today she's wearing an Elsa dress. I think she's going to grow up to be a hairdresser, even though she says no, she's going to grow up to be a cheetah.
That's very, 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 very good.
Ambitious, right?
Yeah, very ambitious.
And I appreciate a hairdresser that says if you have a hair emergency at 8 o'clock on a Sunday, you can work it out, because she chopped all of her hair off on Sunday and I had to quick and scramble and find a great clips to get her into to get it fixed.
I will say, being like a private hairstylist and having, I don't really take walk-ins and I don't really take a lot of like new people unless they're sort of vetted by the people I already know, because I like to keep my stress down and I don't like those people that sit in my chair that I just can't make happy. I don't like to fire people. So I don't even hire those kind of people. That's the customer service that I have. If my client's like, oh my God. And I know the people that take care of me, I take care of them too.
Right. And like my friend who does my hair and normally does her hair, Sundays are like her day. So I wouldn't have bothered her at all anyway. And the only reason why I felt the push to even get it fixed, because I had a hair appointment yesterday and I was just going to see if she could trim her up when we were there. The only reason I didn't just wait was because picture day was Tuesday.
I know, I've been there. I've seriously, that happens to me, like, oh my God, a hair emergency. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do it. Go here. Yeah. Thank you. You saved us. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. And then we popped over to the dollar store and we got a bunch of headbands. So her little pixie cut with her little headband so that nobody gets confused that she's a girl.
Yeah, I know.
Her dad's biggest issue. I don't want people to confuse her for a boy. And I'm like, first of all, she wears dresses everywhere. I don't know. Like,
and
happen.
Who cares anyway?
And, no, but this is the other thing I said, was that boys are less likely to be kidnapped.
Oh my gosh, that's actually sadly true, unfortunately.
It's, I mean, and you know, those are the things that it's unfortunate, but it's accurate, right? Like it and I just kind of told him, I'm like, look, it'll be fine. Hair grows. And if she wants to be a girl with short hair, then I will keep her hair short. She just needs to be telling me and not doing it herself, because
yeah, holy crap. I have a girl with short hair. She has a pixie. It's very grown out right now. And she's like, mom. And I'm like, okay, we'll get it done. I've been pretty busy. So now that you're out of the cult, you're out of Synagence, you left, how does it feel being outside?
So I will say that there were times when I had those self-defeating thoughts of, really, you're that dumb. Like, really, what's wrong with you? Like and mostly because I went against my gut. For me now, it's like, I feel like I'm in the, and I don't play video games, but it's a video game analogy for me. I feel like I'm in a video game and I've somehow turned from being one of the bad guys into being the guy that now has to fight the big boss, right?
That's a good analogy, actually. Yeah.
Like, I'm at this place where it's like, I just don't want to see other people who are already struggling or in vulnerable places be put into more vulnerable places because of what's happening, especially with the job loss and all the things that we've seen on the back end of 2020 and continue to see in 2021. It's not like 2021 has gotten that much better. For me, it's just becoming this place of, I want people to have a safe space to speak their truth. And I want people to be okay with getting out. And I want people to not start in the first place. And I want people to stop supporting and buying products from. And like, I got really disappointed because a woman that I really love and care about, she has just started posting that she joined Tori Bell. And I just want to be like, no.
Yeah,
so
I
bad.
Know. It breaks my
like,
heart.
Okay. So I just, you know what? I do what I do and I do a deep dive on different things. And when something comes to my consciousness, that's where I do a deep dive at that time. But like, I'm just putting the information out there, but I'm also like in this place where I have decluttered my life as part of 2021. I am done having things in my world that don't serve me. That includes stuff. So we had a massive garage sale. I got rid of so much stuff. I have another purge to do in another month. I'm tired of not taking my time off. I'm tired of not adventuring. So we adventure. I have and I haven't necessarily cut people out, but I have let go of people that no longer bring joy into my life.
Right. Let go of things that are heavy.
And I've let go of expectations of the world, of what they think I should be, in the boxes they want to keep me in, including some of the people that have been really close to me my entire life. So like family, certain friends, like if you're going to love me, you're going to love me. And love doesn't come with strings. And if you don't love me, that's fine. Here's the door.
Exactly. But, you don't have to love me. You don't have to be in my circle.
Right.
But if you're going to come in my circle, you better be supportive.
Right. And even if you're not, that's cool, but just don't be mad when I can't deal with you or won't deal with you. Right.
Yeah. I've definitely learned. And I say, like, we talked about being 40, like I turned 40 and I was like, wow, the first 40 years were for everybody else. And the next 40 years are going to be for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I feel too. And being out of MLM and the same, I mean, we have so much in common. And that's another thing that I learned when I do these interviews is I meet these people. I have no idea who you were until I saw you post about this and was like, I would love to talk to you. Yeah. And then it, like, I meet you and I was like, oh my God, we have so much in common. Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe there is something to the victims of MLM and the survivors of MLM. Maybe we all sort of look enough alike that when I do tell these stories, there is so many similarities to them.
So what I'm, and the theme that I hear consistently in your podcast and a lot of other podcasts and a lot of the groups that I'm in on Facebook and just like the different communities that I'm a part of, like what is key? It's our humanity and our need to feel connected. And when you take somebody who doesn't feel connected and wants to feel more connected, whether it's, I want to feel more connected to my family, so I need to free up time to do that. Or I want to feel more connected to other women. Like early motherhood, when you have young children, it's so lonely if you don't have other mom friends, because your friends that don't have kids don't want to spend time with you if you bring your kid, or they don't invite you. And you're like stuck in this time suckage of Blippi and like Disney and all of that business. And it's just really lonely place. And we as human beings crave connection. Connection is tied to our depression levels. So like there was a study done, I think in the 90s, that talks about talking to a stranger for 10 minutes gives you enough dopamine to like get through the rest of your day without getting sad.
Maybe that's why I'm so addicted to making this podcast, is it's replacing the dopamine I had in LuLaRoe. But like in a better positive way, as opposed to a negative way. Wow. I didn't even know that. Talking to strangers. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and there you go.
A friend of mine has started doing a lot on the connection and for like people, and I'm going to plug her because she's amazing. Her name is Erica Macbeth. She is putting together this whole like series. She's got a YouTube and she's putting together this whole series to help people better connect. So if people who struggle making friends, she's always been really good at making friends. So she's teaching people how to build connection. And she had written a book called 52 New Friends. And it's, she set out one year to build relationship with 52 people out of the year. So one person for every week. And then she put all the little snippets into the book. I'm in her book. She put all the snippets into the book. And she did it because she was in such a bad depressive place that she wanted to do something else. She's also really active in the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is my charity of choice. Nice. So if you're going to take that $55 to sign up for Senegence, can you not and just donate it to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention? Because that honestly is the biggest pandemic we're fighting right now, is the amount of people who've committed suicide in the last year and a half has gone up by 50% over the last
it's
year.
So terrible. It's absolutely just heartbreaking. I'm going to link your friend's channel and I'm going to link that foundation. Yes. So if anybody wants to donate, all of that will be in the show notes. Thank you so much. I have some questions at the very end, my rapid questions.
Let's do it.
So we're going to do that and then we'll sign off.
And I feel like I'm on a game show. Let's do
it. I know, right? I'm like, it's time for the supermarket sweep. Here we go.
The price is right, Bob. The price is right, Bob. Sorry.
$1, Bob. Here we go. One word that encompasses how you feel about MLM.
Predatory.
Bingo. One warning to somebody who wants to join an MLM.
Do your research and don't do your research by listening to people that are in it and look at the income disclosure statements. If they don't have one, run.
Yeah. And then do the math and then say, am I worth 10 cents an hour or am I worth a little bit more than that?
You know what? And if you're bad at math, it's okay because they break it down by the year for you. And if you're okay with only making $3,000 in 12 months, then go for it.
And $3,000 is pretty generous for some of those income disclosure statements. I found one when I was doing the deep dive for Young Living, and there's this monthly versus annual. And one of the numbers was $3 for the month, $3 a month.
So Gary Young alone is enough to make my stomach just curl.
Yeah.
Killed his own kid because he thought he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he's the worst. Worst MLM in your opinion?
Any MLM that tells you that you can have a certification in something that actually takes years of training. Senatus has the makeup artist certification, mm-hmm. which basically means you have 40 people you play makeup on, and then you're not. The people that become life coaches. So we had friends that were involved in a financial MLM cult thing that started here in Phoenix. And I can't remember the guy's name, but I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Okay. And I'll add that as well.
God, is he shady. But the husband went into business as a quote unquote life coach and was telling people advertising that he could do trauma treatment.
Nah.
And then because we didn't want to join their cult, they cut us off. But yeah, he has a life coach because he took two classes with this shady motivational speaker who thinks he's Tony Robbins, but isn't. And you're not a life coach, dude. That takes years of training. I know legitimate life coaches that have spent a lot of time and effort into this, or like Herbalife that tells you you're a nutritionist. No, you're not.
Yeah. I actually met like an actual life coach and was talking to him, and he's like an actual life coach who is accredited and like went through all of these things. And he was like, we were asking him questions about these fake life coaches. And he's like, oh, I would never do that. If somebody does that, that's no. And so I was like, okay, he's legit. I need to reach out to him. Cause I was like, I would love to talk to you about life coaches on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Hardest lesson that you learned while in MLM.
That it's okay to fail.
Yeah. Well, it's designed for you to fail. So if you didn't fail, you failed for not failing. MLM is just failure. Yeah. I mean, it's just literally failure.
And I'm used to being a failure at a lot of things. Like I really am. Like I'm an addict. I fail at things. It's what I do. Just that idea, like, and it was hard for me to move past that. I can't fail at this because I've already failed at everything else. If I fail at this, like, and the reality is I have some imposter syndrome that tells me I'm not successful, even though I'm extremely successful. Like I've run facilities, I have a master's degree, like I'm successful. But I just was like, to be okay with failing and knowing that I can walk away and it's not embarrassing.
Yeah. Ending the stigma, right?
Exactly.
And then my favorite question, because it just gives me the best answers, is one positive takeaway that you learned while in MLM that you still use?
So, I guess how to utilize social media appropriately. Does that make that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, for sure.
And also like I did meet some really amazing women through the course of this, and I still think they're amazing women. I think that they're brainwashed successfully. And I hope and I pray that someday they'll move away from it. And the fact that I know that because they're connected to me, that they will always have a soft place to land when they decide to move away from this. Even if they hate me right now because I'm exposing what's happening in their lives, they know that I'm the person that they can come to when they're ready. And that's always my big thing with anybody. Like, I don't care who, my job isn't to judge you for your path. My job is to help you better be okay with the grieving process that comes when we make transitions out of things.
Yeah, exactly. So eloquently put. Like, yes. What a wonderful note to end on. Thank you so much, Megan. Like you are like, I just, you're my friend now. Like we're friends now. And that's so great. You know, like I love it. Woohoo, new friend.
New friend.
I love it. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your insight into Synagence, which I'm thinking people are probably like, I'm sorry, what? So cold. More cold than I thought.
There's so much more. Oh my God. There's so much more.
Right. But like, you got to save that stuff for your YouTube channel, girl. And I'm just going to have people when they go, what's up with Megan? I'm like, check out her YouTube channel. Did you see her last video?
So bad.
So we're going to link all that stuff down in the show notes. So you can find all of the stuff we talked about easily. Megan's going to send me some photos. We're going to put those on Instagram too. So you can follow along and see the ridiculousness. And laugh at her failure and shame the way that because we don't feel failure and shame about it anymore. It's now comedy. Yeah. And we love that. And if you want to be on the show and tell your story as bravely as Megan did, hit me up, therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. And let's get you on the show too. Thank you so much one last time for being incredible. You are this was wonderful. Thank you so much.
I love what you're doing.
And thank you for that too. I'm glad that people feel that way because I was very worried. It took me 3 years to actually do this. It took me 3 years. I said 3 years ago to Courtney, I think I want to interview more people. And it took me 3 years to actually do it. And I'm blown away by the support of my followers, by the anti-MLM community, by people like you that are like, wait, what? Yes, I'll talk to you. It's been incredible.
Well, the other tagline I will use for my first upline, do it scared.
Do it scared. Yeah. Well, I did. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
And you're doing it brilliantly.
And now I'm doing it. And I've mostly great feedback. I haven't really had any negative. Any feedback I've gotten from anybody that isn't positive has been completely constructive, which is my favorite type of criticism. Is if you're going to tell me that I'm doing something wrong, offer a solution as well. Because again, I'm a noob. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well, the first rule of the internet per Wreck-It Ralph is don't read the comments.
That's my favorite thing to do. So that's the producer's advice. We're like, don't read the comments. But what I do is I read the comments. And then when people are talking crap about me, I respond. And it's very funny to see how fast people turn around. What I really meant to say was you're very brave and I'm proud of you. I was like, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought you meant when you said I was a stupid bitch. That's exactly what I thought. So I'm glad that you reiterated that that's what you meant. Have a wonderful day.
Love you. Like,
I got nothing else to do tonight. Let's read some comments. So if you guys are ever bored, go check out the Vice documentary comment section and see what I've been up to. One last time. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you, Roberta.
You're great.
I'm very glad I got to do this.
Yeah, good. See, she loved it. We had a great time. We laughed. We made friends. Hit me up. See you guys next week.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.